It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, January 1st. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Starting today, Colorado will become the first state to allow the sale of marijuana to anyone over the age of 21. Recreational use has been legal there for about a year now, but today the plant will be officially available in stores with special licenses. Where there's a product and retail stores to sell that product, there's a tracking system. Julie Postlewaite is an officer with Colorado's Marijuana Enforcement Division.
It's an agricultural product. It also holds value when it can be taken down to a very small size. It's also something we need to track when it could be something as tall as a 6-foot plant. We settled on radio frequency identification tags.
As in RFID tags, not an alien concept to the world of retail. Some of these tags, though, have a strap that you can attach to the plant. Each plant gets tagged, each tag gets a number, and each number goes into a large online database, the Marijuana Inventory Tracking Solution, or as Postlewaite calls it, MITS.
Technology plays a very big role because it's a cost saver. It can limit the actual interaction of the officer with the plant because they can be somewhat fragile, but it all gets down to well-trained peace officers who use that information in monitoring the system.
By the way, even with infrastructure already in place, Postlewaite and company are expecting a big sales day today. She called it a landmark event. Speaking of shopping for goods, if you're planning on using your gift cards or your holiday cash for a January online buyer's blitz, you'll probably run into a CAPTCHA or two. You know what I'm talking about, right? Those little tests asking you to type in letters and numbers to prove that you're not a bot, but a human. I usually fail on first try, which hopefully proves I'm a human. Either way, Google says its popular version is now much easier to decipher, but that might not be the case for everyone. Georgia Public Broadcasting's Adam Ragusea has this report.
If you look at Google's CAPTCHA widget, there's an option for an audio test instead of a visual one. That's theoretically useful for people like Wayne Hawkins, a disability advocate in Sydney who's mostly blind.
We're talking on Skype. In Australia, you need to actually go through a CAPTCHA process to create a Skype account. And I listened to the CAPTCHA about 30 times and tried to type in what I thought I heard.
Four,
one. Never got through.
Four.
I got a four, a one, and possibly a bad word in there. Why do the characters have to sound so garbled?
They're trying to find this sweet spot where the human perceptual system can understand what's being said, but it's too difficult to write computer programs to understand it.
This is Jeffrey Bingham, a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, where CAPTCHA technology was born in the 90s. He says there are other audio CAPTCHAs that are easier to make out.
Also, probably the ones that were most easy for computer programs to solve. I think if there was an obvious better model, we'd be using it.
A Google spokesperson says the team that just made the visual CAPTCHAs a bit easier is working on the audio ones, too. Wayne Hawkins isn't waiting. His Kill CAPTCHA campaign got the attention of Google brass. They gave him a meeting where he argued,
"You know, we understand that there's a need for some security protocol, but it doesn't need to be inaccessible."
And accessible is the magic word. Laney Feingold is a San Francisco attorney who's negotiated agreements with companies like Bank of America and CVS to get CAPTCHAs off their sites.
Any company that's putting out either sites or mobile apps without considering accessibility for people with disabilities is really at risk.
And she says the risk isn't just that you might lose customers. You might get sued. In Macon, Georgia,
I'm Adam Ragusea for Marketplace.
This week, we're talking to people about tech in the new year. Today, it's Cyrus Farivar, senior business editor at the website Ars Technica. Cyrus has been looking at some big tech issues in 2014 through the lens of some high-profile legal battles. Cyrus, how are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. So, an interesting week for at least one legal challenge that is from the past. Tell me about it.
This is the case of an American student named Pascal Abidor. This case takes us way back to 2010 when he was on an Amtrak train from Montreal to New York City.
And he got detained, right?
He was detained. His laptops were seized. They were copied. His phones were seized and copied. And this week, we learned that his lawsuit was dismissed by a federal judge in Brooklyn. The argument that the judge made, and that I think the government would make as well, is that the border is a sort of special area where normal rights don't apply.
What do you think is going to be big in terms of technology and legal challenges this next year?
Yeah, so there's two big cases to keep an eye on. One is a case that really got going over the last several months. This is a website called The Silk Road. And a gentleman by the name of Ross Ulbricht is now going to be facing trial for essentially being the kingpin behind The Silk Road.
Now, another high-profile one is has to do with our favorite strange Kiwi, Kim.com.
That's right. Kim.com, of course, is the founder of a website called Mega Upload. And for the last 2 years, the U.S. government has been trying to get New Zealand to extradite him to face criminal charges of intellectual property violations in the United States. The problem is that New Zealand authorities unlawfully conducted surveillance and searches on Mr.com. The extradition hearing is set for July 2014. So hopefully by this coming summer, we'll know if Kim.com does have to come to the U.S. to face his criminal charges.
Cyrus Farivar, senior business editor for the website Ars Technica. Cyrus, thank you very much, man.
My pleasure as always.
You can hear more about tech in 2014 and give us your own predictions. Just head to our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.